You're listening to the original and the best Football Sack Podcast. I'm Jack Quigley. That's Christian Leyland. Welcome Hello, aboard. Folks. Wow, it is good to be back, isn't it?
I missed dancing in the studio.
I did, and I'm glad to be back doing exercise once again. We are the Football Sack, the original Football Sack, it should be said, because there's two shows now. Of course, in our absence, the guys in Sydney have picked up the slack. So a big thank you to Matt and Pete for doing that. But we are here in the Southern Cross University studios, who have been ever so kind to say, please, I beg of you, come and record in us. So a big thank you to SCU for getting us back.
That's it. I guess if they're going to twist our arm, we might as well take
That's
it.
That's right. Well, they've got us back on the air. Now let's get back to the top of iTunes, which is which is where we belong, at the top of the tree of Australian football podcasts. Well, because we're the champions.
We're the champions. It's brilliant. So we went down to the FFDU Australian Football Supporter Awards. So yep. We had four nominations. We took out one category and left with two trophies.
Two trophies, brilliant! Yeah, yes, yeah, so that's great. That's a great night. Basically, doubled our winnings. Mm-hmm. For those who didn't hear already on the old podcast with Matt and Pete of last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever we won the thing, it's just been such a blur in Tinseltown. It's been nothing but champagnes and late nights. I can't remember exactly when we won it, but we did. I'm holding the trophy right now. It's in the studio with us. I'll tap it against the microphone. That's it there. It is the Footy Fans Down Under Football Podcast of the Year. It looks a bit like an ARIA Award. And if David Bashir is looking for the SBS Award, we've got it.
We do. Yes. We do. I love the fact that we actually, before, because it's like, you know, whenever a major rugby team wins a tournament, their trophy always goes missing for a day.
Yes,
it
that's
shows
right.
up on some big landmark or something.
Yeah.
Well, we took SBS's award for TV Show of the Year, which is Santo Sam and Eddie.
Yeah.
But what happened is one of our editor, Matt Greenlaw, is he didn't want us to steal it.
No.
But so we did it without him realizing.
Because he is weak.
He's weak, yes. Anyway, so he went over to Dave Bashir before when we left, and he says, oh, so you guys, you've got your trophy? SBS, you got your trophy? And Dave Bashir's like, yeah, we got it. And I was like, yeah, you sure? He's like, yeah, I've got it right here. And he puts up his hand like he's holding an imaginary
yeah,
trophy.
There was nothing in his hand.
And genuinely believed yes. he had the trophy.
He'd really started enjoying the fact that they'd won very, very early in the evening. And this was later in the evening that he was asked whether he was still holding the trophy, which he was under the impression that he was,
yes.
but wasn't. So we didn't feel bad about stealing it.
That's right.
So yeah. SBS, we have it. So you can cancel the order for putting the picture on the side of the milk carton because we know where it is.
That's right. That's right.
We should also make reference to a couple of other podcasts that we beat, the SBS Champions League podcast, you know, which is a great show as well, and the 442 magazine podcast, which now we joked a little while ago because 442 had a bit of advertising on the side of the ground there at the Sydney Football Stadium. Mm-hmm. We were watching a Sydney FC game, and it said the Ultimate A-League podcast. Now, we were number one in the sports category for podcasts at the time, so we mentioned on this show that that may be slightly false. We now have official proof that that was actually false. We are number one, so we'd like a formal apology.
Yes, written out.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Published in the magazine front page.
That's right. So on the next issue, I mean, I think I was reading this issue. I think the next issue there's a special about Brazil, and is it all falling apart for them?
Well, but really I'm sure should be 442.
Is it all falling apart for the podcast? For yes, that's right. no, but a fantastic magazine, a really good podcast as well, a 442 one. So for those of you who don't listen, have a listen.
Have a listen, but make sure you listen to us twice so we stay
to make up
the
for it. Exactly. Yes, that's right. Thank you. I'm glad we got that sorted. A special mention should also go out to Football Federation Victoria,
definitely,
who have just started up their own podcast, which I believe you were a guest on. As well,
yeah. So that last week, I was a special guest of theirs.
Yes,
a late inclusion.
Yeah,
that was nice.
They're aiming high. They've told us that they're coming after us to get our trophy. We of course laughed at them, insulted them, belittled them, and then left. No, it's great to have won. A big thank you to everybody out there who's downloaded the show, subscribed to the show, written in, tweeted us, whatever, even talked about us. It's fantastic.
That's
so
right.
Thank you very
Anything,
much.
Especially those who've given us a rating on iTunes. Was
yes,
brilliant.
That's right. right. They all count.
Even that one guy gave us a 1-star rating. Well, you still wasted 40 minutes listening to us.
That's right. That rating still counts. So, yeah, thank you very much to everybody out there who made that happen. Now let's get back to the top and chase down Hamish and Andy again.
All right. It's on.
Right, let's get straight into the A-League action, because this is the number one A-League podcast, and of course we have very little to talk about in the way of A-League action, because we have an 18-month off-season in the A-League, which is the longest in world sport history, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, an 18th-month off-season, I mean, you have a season, what, once every 3 years?
Yes, that's right, yeah. It's a triannual season, so that's why it's so special.
It makes it extra special, that's right.
That's right,
the World Cup thinks it has it, it's got nothing.
That's right, you know, if you, the only thing that the World Cup and the Olympics have over is that extra year, but I believe FFA are trying to make the next off-season 4 years long to try and raise the profile.
Extra special. Yes.
No, on that, of course, that is the fixtures have been released just recently. The season doesn't start until October, but we think that's a pretty good idea.
I think so. It means we avoid the start of the season being with the finals of the AFL and NRL, which you get a few fans who say, you know, we shouldn't have to worry about them because, you know, football fans will turn up anyway.
That's right.
But let's realistically, we need those fans to come.
Well, that's right, because the football fans will turn up anyway. But if we want to grow our numbers, we need to get more fans. And let's get on the back page of the paper, not, you know, half a dozen pages in.
Right.
Because, you know, we've got to get through all the AFL and NRL finals news. So, of course, we also have the Rugby World Cup to contend with this year as well. So it's going to be
a
challenge.
Which will, of course, be overshadowed by the glorious Women's World Cup.
That's right. Well, you know, not just the Women's World Cup, but also the...
The Youth World Cup.
That's right, exactly. And hopefully the Oli Roos kicking off a successful qualifying campaign for the Olympics by beating Yemen.
Yemen.
Which is coming up shortly, which we will talk about in a little bit. Back to the fixtures. We should also talk about the fact that this year they've done their best to try and get a home and away format into the league, which is fantastic.
Which is brilliant. I mean, it was obviously, it was almost a year to the day ago where you were sitting in the exact seat you are now complaining how it's not home and away.
Yes.
And it's obviously, you know, we're the number one podcast, so they would listen to us.
It's called People Power, yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. You know, if your team's not at home this week, they'll be there next week. You know, there are going to be the odd sort of blip here and there. I think when you have an 11-team competition, you can't be home 1 week away the next every time.
That's it. But especially when it turns back into a 10-team competition like this season.
Yes, well, that's of course what I meant, yes.
But yeah, I know, it's easy to get in a rhythm now. You go home and away, home and away. You have a rough idea of when your team are going to be playing. Like I said, it's same in the EPL. There will be some rough areas where you might have one or two home games in a row, but generally it's going to be...
Yes, you're not going to have those weird barren spells that Sydney FC used to have where they would have three home games in the space of 2 weeks and then they'd go a month without playing at home again.
Which is ridiculous.
Which is very, very difficult as a fan to keep tabs on, and as a neutral, it's almost impossible to keep tabs on.
That's right, and yeah, as an organisation too, if you're on a roll, if you won two or three games in a row, but then you don't play at home for a month...
You can't cash in on that success.
You can't capitalise on the success,
yes, that's right.
And you know, an away trip for a month, the odds are you might actually lose a couple of games. By the time you come back home...
You're back to even.
That's right.
And it's only the same old fans who come along to watch you. But other than that, we're very, very happy with the fixtures, with the Festival of Football or whatever they've called that.
The Football Fiesta, I'll call it.
The Football Fiesta.
It's just a mad day.
Sounds like
football.
A car. It's the marathon of football. It's 11 hours long, did you say?
11 hours.
If you've done the maths,
football.
Yes. Which we were just talking a moment ago, we think we might try and organise some sort of supporter group meet-up.
Yes,
probably
so.
For us, either Brisbane or Sydney, given our... location.
That's right. Yeah, if it's in Brisbane, we might do it over at depending, you know, what the weather's like. We could do it at the Pick and Whistle, maybe do it at Kangaroo Point, have a meet up with all the fans, come along. Might try to get in conjunction with another organisation.
That's right, because Brisbane are away that day, aren't they?
Away that day, yes. So there'll be no game to actually have to go to
that's
break it
right.
up. Yeah. So you have a massive barbecue.
Because we, of course, promote people to go to the game. You know, us, we'll be sat down with 4,000 beers and nachos, and we won't be moving except to go to the bathroom for 11 hours. But everyone else, go out and watch your
respective team play
if they're playing at home. That's right. And then rush home and sit down with beers and nachos. Chosen, don't move except to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
A-League news this week and even today is these A-League, the new kits are coming out, which is great. The franchise sort of deal with Reebok has ended.
Thank God.
Thank goodness. You know, Reebok made good kits, but you're so sick of seeing the generated. Same. Yes, that's right. Clubs still have released their kits so far. We've got Melbourne Victory, mm-hmm. Melbourne Heart, and I think Perth Glory released theirs a while ago.
Have. Yes, and I'm not sure if the Jets have released it officially, but we all know what they're going to look like. They've gone gold. To the Newcastle Knights.
Have they gone jerseys? Blue and
blue and red? Blue and red. Yes, because obviously Tinkler's taken over.
That's right.
Both of them
merged the two. Yeah.
Yeah, and so the new Jets home kit is going to be the same as the Knights kit, or the same similar style, so that it can be kind of put under one sort of club.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there's half the Jets fans really hate it, half the Jets fans really love it.
That's
so.
Right. Well, you know, I think the Jets fans who hate it hopefully will come around.
Yes, yes.
And hopefully neutrals out there who support the Knights will then jump on board, which is obviously the thinking.
That's right. I think there's talk that they're going to try to get some sort of dual membership going where you can pay a little bit extra on your Knights or your Jets membership and you get entry to both seasons.
Yeah.
Now you've basically got sport all year round. And that's, as a sports fan, especially an Australian sports fan, you can't really ask for much more than
exactly.
That.
Of course, the big story brewing at Newcastle in the season ahead is the clash of the Chulinas, because obviously Jason has mm-hmm. left the Gold Coast,
yes.
Which is a big loss for the Gold Coast, especially that Smeltz is playing for Perth mm-hmm. now, and has gone down to play under his father.
His so-called father.
His father. But, yeah, we raised questions about that because whilst there is a similarity in appearance, there is a distinct, you know, difference in pronunciation of surname. We went over this about a year ago on mm-hmm. the podcast that in the A-League sort of pronunciation
guide.
Yes, that's right. They go around and they ask every player, how do you say your name, so that we can give this guide to all the commentators.
Yeah, so they pronounce it phonetically so everyone can know how to say it.
Exactly. And we looked up, we thought, how do Jason Kalina and Branko Chulina say theirs?
Because every commentator says it differently.
Different,
so I said, well,
yeah.
Here's a chance. Which one is correct?
That's right. And we went through and it was, we did Jason first and it was Jason Kalina. And we thought,
oh, okay.
Right, it's Kalina. That sells it. And then we thought, let's just double check and just check the Jets. And it was Branko Chulina. So I'm not sure which one's wrong.
Yeah, so it's either one of them has actually been approached and pronounced their last name incorrectly.
Yes, that's right.
Or they're just not related.
That's right. It's either way, it is just shambles down
shambles,
there at Newcastle.
Yes, that's right.
Shambles.
So the media manager scratching his head
that's
going,
right.
What do I do?
That's why Lubo left, because he was no longer the biggest shambles down in Newcastle.
Oh, of course, that's,
yes,
right,
that's right.
Yes, yes.
Let's move on, because that's about all the A-League news for the moment. Actually, just one last thing about mm-hmm. the kits. Your thoughts on the Melbourne Victory one released this morning?
Well, brilliant. I have a look at their away kit. Like you were saying to me earlier, it's just like Chelsea's
Barcelona, that fluoro green. I think it's going to add so much colour. I think it's fantastic.
It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? It's going to add, like, we haven't seen a kit like this in the A-League ever. And it's just going to be a kind of a step forward in kit design in the league. Yeah. And it's going to be so much better than the bland, you know, going to one of your home games and you're playing against a team in white.
That's right,
you know, it's great.
We were saying just off air, the first three seasons of the A-League, if you were a Brisbane Roar fan, mm-hmm. every season you watched orange against white,
yeah.
no matter who you were playing. It was orange and white. I really love that Melbourne Victory away kit. I think it's mm-hmm. great. So
I'm not sold on the home kit, but you're a fan.
Yeah, I am a fan. I think it's got, you know, because they've got Adidas on board. I think there's a bit of the Schalke sort of thing going on with the collar and, I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like it. Except the logo's too low down.
It's on your bread basket.
That's right. Yeah, they've insisted on putting their sponsor's logo below the end of the V,
yes.
On their shirt, if you haven't seen it yet, which unfortunately the V stops just sort of above the navel, so the sponsor is right across the belly button when it really should be much higher up on the shirt.
It looks a bit wrong.
Yeah, it's right. It looks like the shirt's stretched a bit. But other than that, fantastic kit. Well done to Melbourne Victory and to Adidas.
Really good work.
I believe Melbourne Heart, of course, have done ISC.
ISC is their supplier.
And they'll be wearing red and white stripes
this
season.
Oh, who would have thought?
Yeah, that's exciting.
That's a great revelation there.
Yes.
What is interesting, though, is they're having a competition for their third kit. They're actually letting fans design their third kit and some series of judges or fan choice, I don't know how they're going to choose it, but the winner is actually going to be their official third kit. I mean, they might only wear it once in the season.
That's right. But hey, I tell you what, if you want it, you buy the kit.
That's exactly
they'll
right.
They'll sell one more kit, they know that for sure.
Yeah. So there's a little thing on Twitter going around where you should, everyone, Heart fan or not, go design a Melbourne Heart kit and just add a little football
try
sack
and
logo.
Get the football sack logo in there somewhere. Yeah, if we can get the third kit for one of the A-League teams to secretly involve our logo in the pattern somehow, that'll be awesome. I'll buy the shirt for
You'll buy the shirt for them.
I will buy it for them. I'll give I'll buy one for me. So there's two sales.
Yeah. They get Melbourne Heart. Get onto that.
That's right. So Melbourne Heart.
That's almost more than season tickets sold as they had in the first season.
That's exactly, yeah. I think it's exactly half. All right, that's excellent. Let's move on to international matters. And we'll talk about the Joeys and the Matildas and the Olleroos. We'll start with the Joeys, the under-17s. They're in Mexico. About to embark on the easy group that will involve Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire, I believe Denmark, and the Brazilians. So we'll be disappointed, boys, if you don't come home having topped that group.
Yeah, you can see it a goal, you're disappointed.
That's right.
I just love saying Côte d'Ivoire.
Yeah, Côte d'Ivoire, yeah. Dylan Tombides, the Australian striker, very highly rated at West Ham. It was said that if the Hammers weren't in a relegation scrap, which they subsequently lost last season, he would have been given game time in the Premier League as a 16-year-old, which is fantastic. And he scored twice the other day in a 2-1 win over Uruguay. So, yeah, really fantastic signs coming out of the Olleroos. So.
Well, I think it's brilliant. I mean, this 17 side, you have a look at the list of names, and unless you're a really, really keen supporter, you're not going to know any of them.
That's right.
But the thing is that they're actually very talented, and this is probably the first age group since we started, so 6 years ago, we kind of put the whole
Dutch thing
into progress. This is the first group to come out when they started when they were 12.
Yes, that's right.
And
so
it's
who haven't been sort of trained one way and then tried to be converted. These guys are pure in the FFA's new system. So this is the FFA will be watching this with a very, very close eye because, you know, if they go out there and play like Muppets, we might have to toss the whole thing in and, I don't know, maybe try a German system.
That's right. Also, just like the Socceroos then.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Exactly.
But that's the thing. Like, I think the 17s are going to come up, and then we've got the 15s under them who are going to be also very strong. Like, people say we don't have any big names coming through in the youth system, but we're going to have some great, talented players. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Well, that is the problem, sort of not having enough big names, because you look at the current Socceroos side, and there's a lot of big names. I mean, Ognanovsky, that is a huge name.
That takes up
most of the back of his shirt. So, players like that. And we've seen a few big names go. Bresciano, that was a big name.
Yeah, that's huge. Sturjovski
used to take up almost shoulder to shoulder on the back of his shirt, so very tough to move on.
And so, who do we have? Who do we have now? We have Nathan Coe.
Exactly. Brilliant. Yeah, that's right.
Three letters.
The marketing department are tripping over letters that are just hanging around the office that used to be on the backs of shirts. Mm. On a serious note, though, let's hope that. The boys do themselves proud, put in a good performance. I believe those matches will be on SBS.
Yes, I believe so. They always do those little youth cups, which is brilliant.
It's fantastic.
This time we might actually have a team we can actually fully support.
That's right.
They're actually playing some good football.
That's right.
Were they the team who just recently beat Uruguay?
Yes, the 17th, yes.
Yes, that's impressive.
Moving up an age group, and we go to the Olleroos. Well, actually, I don't think it is. I think we might have even skipped a few age groups, because the Olleroos are under 23.
So you've got 21s.
That's right. 19s, I think we
still
have
as well. 19s as well, too. Yeah. It's a strange system.
That's right. The Olleroos, they will be playing off in a two-leg playoff against Yemen to get into the next stage of qualifying for the Olympics. So, best of luck to them. Aurelio's boys, of course, played in Japan just recently as a curtain raiser to a Japanese international against the Japanese equivalent side. And it was a fantastic game. I believe they ended up being beaten 3-1, but the scoreline was harsh on them. I watched the game, and I thought they played really well. Your mate Mitch Nichols had a really good game, I thought. I thought the best player on the park for Australia was Isaac Cernak.
Yes.
He was fantastic. Lots of good signs to come out of that. So best of luck to the boys. I believe the first leg is on Sunday afternoon.
Sunday and then
Thursday, that's right.
Because that's got to start for Armenia, doesn't it, that side?
I believe so.
And Bernie Abini as well.
Yes, it does.
It should be a pretty solid side.
Yeah.
Not spectacular, but it's should be a good side to beat. Yeah, man.
In Japan, that's right. In Japan, not to be confused with the Caribbean team, Yaman. In the Japan game, they were all based around counter-attack. So when they had the ball, they weren't sort of brilliant flash, but they made sure, let's keep the ball, tie the opposition out. But when they gave the ball away, they were always looking to attack, and they were brilliant on the break. Could have scored a few goals on the break.
See, this is only 23 side there, because you got Ben Kantrowski as well.
Yes,
he's pretty solid down there. But they're kind of a hybrid team where they were the old system. They had to kind of change halfway
through
their development.
That's right, and that's an example of, and I think, I'm not sure if they've been successful in getting Luke De Veer released from his K-League
club. I haven't heard
club.
Yet. There's been no media release. I would assume probably not.
Yet. Yes, that's right, which is a big blow.
Unfortunate, because he is top class.
Yes, he is. He's a brilliant defender. Australia's looking pretty good for central defenders, actually, for the future. Mm. Sparanovic, Kantarovsky, De Veer, so looking good. And also, apparently, Reece Williams has played at centre-back for Middlesbrough, and is quite highly rated.
Well, there you
go. So, yeah, that's good to hear.
Good work.
Excellent. The last international team, Australian international team, in action in the near future is the Matildas, the women's team.
Westwood Matildas.
So let's get behind them. They're in Germany preparing for their World Cup, which again will be televised on SBS. Mm-hmm. Again, there's a special about the girls in this month's 442.
They're on the cover.
They are, yes.
I actually find it a little bit funny how probably two of the main girls on the cover are Thea Slatcher and Sarah Walsh, both of whom are not in the squad.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Well, Sarah Walsh was injured, but Thea Slatcher, I don't know how she missed out.
Is it Slatcher or Slater?
I call her Slatcher. I don't actually know.
I think it's Slater. I'm just trying to memorise when I was reading the article whether it was written up the side of the page. Anyway, go out and buy a copy and read it and tell us.
That's right. Yeah. And how could they tell us?
By tweeting us. And we are available on Twitter at the Football Sack. You can also email us at info@thefootballsack.com.
Yes, .com. Very important.
Or go on Facebook.
Yeah, you go www.facebook.com/
That's right.
Guess what? The Football Sack.
Are you alive in the year 2011? If you answered yes to that question, you have a Facebook page. If you have a Facebook page, you can like our Facebook page.
Brilliant.
Excellent. We should also give a shout out to another sponsor. It's the North Coast Football Academy.
Another sponsor? You mean the first sponsor?
I've already thanked SCU
at the start of the show. My bad.
Yes, that's
serves
right.
Serves me right for trying to correct you.
Yeah, well, it serves you right for having your iPod in while we're trying to do the show. You should listen to what I have to say. I put up with you. Now, the North Coast Football Academy is running a 21-day tour of the UK.
Yes, very exciting. Well, for players or referees.
All referees. Yes, that's right. That's exciting. I believe you go, you play about a dozen games. Tee up for you while you're over there. Mm-hmm. You get tours to a few stadiums, including going to watch some Premier League games. Is it four Premier League games?
You get to watch four Premier League games. You get to tour Old Trafford, Wolves, and
Molineux, at Wolves, and the City Ground, at Nottingham, I believe.
Yes, Notts County, that's right. You play, I think, 11 games, including, I think, like some like Notts County reserve team, you get a few of those Accrington Stanley reserves teams.
Jeez, they must be a force, Accrington Stanley reserves.
That's right.
I would love to play against Accrington, just so I could say I've played against Accrington Stanley reserves.
But yeah, no, it should be good. And I said players, referees, obviously if you come as a referee, you get to ref about 11 games rather than play 11 games.
Yeah.
Because then, referees playing, it's on the pretty side.
Yeah, no, you have to referee and play at the same time, I believe.
Yeah. The important thing about this is you don't actually have to be part of the North Coast Football Academy to go on this tour.
Yes.
Anyone in Australia can go on this tour. So just go to our website, you can see their ad on our header, top left, click on that, all the details are there for you. So get into that because it's going to be a lot of fun.
So if you're not a moron, you should be able to follow those instructions. Mm-hmm. So get amongst it. Also, while you're on the website, turn your attention to the latest interview with, speaking of big names, Sasa Ognjanovski. We had a chat to him during the week and did an interview, and it's a really good interview too. So make sure you check it out. I must say, I was disappointed when we know we're going to be interviewing someone. All of us sort of talk to each other and we all send in our questions that we think would make for a good interview, and then we pick all the best, and that's how we formulate an interview.
Well, I guess we don't always pick the best.
That's right, because I was quite disappointed that my suggestion for a question of who would win in the fight between him and Lubo Milicevic wasn't asked, because I think it would have been
a great question.
And we were just joking afterwards saying that, if you asked Lubo, he'd give you an answer.
And what would that answer be?
Lubo. Yes, Lubo eat everyone because they are not professional enough. Luba Milicevic looks a lot like a bloke who was in the band Aha. I think they were called Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think they had a song called I Saw the Sun or something like that. And he's a dead ringer for one of the singers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. Oh, he's a looker.
He's a looker.
Yeah, he's a looker. Yeah, he's recently just signed for Hajduk Split. Mm. Along with, I believe they took another young Aussie there. I'm just going off the top of my head here, but yeah.
John Smith.
John Smith. So well done, John.
Yes. Talk about Lubo. You know the interview we did with him a long time ago, about, you know, 6 to 8 months ago?
Yes.
Well, what happened? That it keeps getting hits. It was our number 3 most viewed article last week.
Really?
Yeah.
So people are going through our archives
to just specifically to read that. Or people like Google Lubo Milicevic and read the article and pass it on to their friends. Like,
Are any of them clicking that is not about his transfer to Hajduk Split?
See, no, it's really crazy because, honestly, about every month and a half, every 2 months, it goes through a bit of a renaissance. And, you know, all these people just hit it again and again. It's just incredible.
It's just closet Lubo fans everywhere.
That's right. I remember...
well, he's a big name.
There was one month where his girlfriend... What's his girlfriend's name?
I don't know.
Okay, his girlfriend, because we can see what people Google to find our pages. His girlfriend was Googled more times than he was to find our article.
Really? Yeah. Okay, excellent. Lubo not happy.
Lubo not happy. But talking about Google, someone tried to Google you the other day, didn't they?
Well, yeah, apparently we had someone write to the show and say that they were doing a project where they needed to research Jonathan Rhys-Meyer, the actor. Googled him, and the first link that came up was a link back to our website asking if I looked like him when we asked Kofi Danning and Seb Ryle from Sydney FC.
And that is going back about a year, because that was during the World Cup.
It was too, yeah. It was at the fan day down in Sydney, yeah. Mm. Ah, old times, good old times.
That brings a tear to the eye.
That's right. That's the sort of times that made us the number one A-League podcast.
Well, that's right.
Well,
that's
the number one A-League podcast and the number one football podcast.
Mm. I mean, those moments brought this along, didn't
they? That's right, that trophy. And he's just hit it against the microphone again, for those of you who missed it earlier in the show, when I hit it against my microphone. We should give some Twitter shout-outs. We asked earlier today, what is the worst part about the A-League off-season? And we had a heap of responses, and we thought we had a laugh at a couple, so we thought let's give a couple a shout-out on the show. So Tony Ising said the worst part of the off-season is that Melbourne Heart Football Club are ahead of Melbourne Victory Football Club alphabetically on the table. So that's tough. You know, it's not that bad, mate, because being a West Ham fan, you're always last for the entire off-season, which makes a nice change when it comes to the actual season, when you're actually last for the whole season. So I think we've actually, if you take out this off-season, the last Premier League season, and the off-season before that, West Ham have actually been bottom of whatever table they're in for a good couple of years now.
A good couple of years now. I like it. Well, I don't like it. Well, you don't like it.
I definitely don't like it.
I don't mind it.
Dane P. Williams wrote to us. We had a laugh at this too. He said the worst part about the off season will be the anticlimax that comes when Jamie Coyne re-signs with your team. So
Sydney fans having their misery there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So commiserations to Sydney. Yes, I don't think he's that bad a player, to be honest. But
no, it's just a stigma of being an ex-Perth player.
I think I think it's also the fact that As a fan, you always want your club to sign strikers. Mm-hmm. Even if you know you could use a wing-back or a defender, you know, when it gets announced that you've signed a player and he's not a 50-goal-a-season striker, you go,
That's right. I mean, Man City, I mean, they've got about 20 strikers. I mean, we signed Kolarov, a left-back we desperately needed. We all went, oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jesus. Balotelli player. Might score. So our next tweet that we'd like to ask people to tweet in is, we'd like to know, in your 150 characters or more, if you want to use more, email us or post it on the Facebook wall. How would you convince a friend to get an A-League membership for next season?
Yeah, it was an interesting question, isn't it?
How would you convince a friend? Because you have one.
Oh yeah, but it's difficult because if they're not a football fan, you have to obviously convert them to the game first. But if they are a football fan, it's such a hard thing. Like, I have trouble enough to get a friend just to come to a game with me, even if I promise
free
beer.
That's because you're really ugly and you smell bad, though. That's got nothing to do with football.
Nothing to do with football.
Yeah,
that's why I always invite.
That's
someone.
Why I keep turning down invites. I can't bear the car ride. It's awful.
But I go there and run into you anyway. You're like, oh, Jack, I didn't know you're coming.
That's right. Yeah, no, I always sit in the away fans, make sure I'm not near you. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, see, it's such a tough question because it's something which it's critical. You need memberships to sustain the club. But obviously, like, what can you do to get people to come along?
That's right.
It's a
tricky question.
Would you consider saying to your friend, I'll buy you one beer every game if you buy a membership?
Yeah. In fact, that's another question we can ask. What lengths would you be prepared to go to get a friend to get a membership at your club to be your companion? I've said I'm going to take one with Gold Coast United this season, not for any reason other than they're the closest club.
Yes.
So I'll be going up there and watching their football each week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you'll be their number one ticket holder, wouldn't you?
I think you automatically, if by taking out a membership, I think I am, the number one ticket holder. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're about done for today.
Oh, wow.
Which has been the first Football Sack Friday show, whatever it's going to be called on Fridays, probably the Friday show would make more sense.
The Friday show. It actually has a ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Friday show.
Matt Greenlaw had it. He wanted it to be called the Quig and Lale show.
The Quig and Lale show. Now, I can see how he's come up with that, but I think the Friday show is better.
I like the Friday show.
Yeah, so we're going to go with that because we make the rules, and that's what's got us to number one.
This trophy here, that's our rules.
That one there, that nice glass one that we're going to break by continually hitting it against the microphones, is what's got us to number one. So a big thanks once again to everyone who made that happen. We will be back. You can, of course, listen before we're back to the boys down there, whatever they want to call themselves, the Sunday show. If you're within radio range, you can listen to Beyond the 90. They do a radio program on Sunday mornings, and then they record their podcast, which goes up on a Sunday afternoon. So you've got two hits of the sack from now on, which is fantastic. So have a listen to the boys on Sunday, and have a listen to us again next Friday. We'll be back each and every Friday. So it's a very goodbye from me.
And it's a thank you for listening from me.
I think, well, that's a very polite of you to say thank you for listening.
Well, I've got to get friends somehow, don't I?
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, it's a very good thank you and goodbye from the trophy.